Rosemary Forsyth, who rose to run ExxonMobil's global political department out of Irving as Chad's oil flowed, had been a precocious child. She graduated from Indiana University at the age of 16 after studying the classics, Russian literature, and political science. She overcame the psychological burdens of prodigy and grew into a calm, professional woman with a knack for making herself useful in large organizations. Fascinated by Russia and its neighbors, she joined the State Department in 1987 and then moved to the National Security Council, where she became a traveling specialist in the political affairs of the new republics born from the Soviet Union's dissolution. In the late 1990s, Forsyth left government to work for Mobil Oil as a political advisor, based in London. After the Exxon merger, she was summoned to build the combined corporation's political department at the Irving headquarters. She came to function as ExxonMobil's chief political risk analyst. She filtered and synthesized political assessments flowing to Irving from the corporation's far-flung field offices. She was an articulate, well-composed, dark-haired woman who adjusted gradually to ExxonMobil corporate culture with some of her sense of irony intact. She told friends that the oil corporation's system for maintaining confidential information was far more severe than anything she had seen while holding a top-secret clearance at the White House. ExxonMobil so guarded its internal assessments of country-by-country oil reserves, for example, that when executives talked about that subject with outsiders, they used the published estimates of rival BP rather than reveal their own. Forsyth worked in a modest-sized office on the ground floor of the Death Star, as the Irving headquarters was known to some employees. She enjoyed a window looking onto the campus's green lawns. Each April, when ExxonMobil conducted an annual multi-year strategic planning exercise, she integrated global and demographic forecasts into the plan. She also advised Lee Raymond and the management committee about the international political dimensions of investment and technology decisions. Chad presented an emblematic case of the challenges Exxon faced abroad. Much of the oil and gas ExxonMobil could hope to acquire and book as equity reserves by the year 2000 lay in weak states, countries that were too poor, underpopulated, or badly governed to produce and control their oil on their own. Many of these weak states lay in Africa. In her presentations to ExxonMobil's management committee, Forsyth captured this global picture in PowerPoint slides that divided the world's governments into three categories: democracies, blue; authoritarian regimes, yellow; and transitional governments, red. The latter were characterized by political instability. One slide showed that in recent decades, the percentage of the world's oil located in unstable countries had doubled to about half. By comparison, much of the world's natural gas reserves, known at the time, lay in authoritarian nations, particularly Russia and Iran. Forsyth's work also showed how demographics in the red and yellow countries, particularly the youth bulges or growing generations of young people swelling in the Middle East, suggested that even more instability in oil-producing regions could be anticipated. Large numbers of teenagers tended to create havoc wherever they lived. Her forecasts anticipated the Arab Spring many years before it arrived. Forsyth also produced maps showing global piracy problems and threats to shipping lanes. An implication of her analysis was that if a company like ExxonMobil wanted to continue to replace the hundreds of millions of barrels of oil reserves it pumped and sold each year, and to show Wall Street that its booked reserves were holding steady, the corporation would be drawn more and more into poor and unstable countries, and it would have to find ways to operate successfully in such places. As Vice President Cheney had once remarked when he ran Halliburton, "The good Lord didn't see fit to put oil and gas only where there are democratically elected regimes friendly to the United States. We go where the business is." Exxon hired a former career Foreign Service officer with long experience in Africa, Simeon Motes, to serve as an Africa desk officer in the corporation's Washington office. Motes consulted with former colleagues at State and at the National Intelligence Council to stay abreast of Chadian affairs and other African politics. Lee Raymond's Africa team also brought in Herman Hank Cohen, an Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs during the George H.W. Bush administration. He was hired on a consultancy to train Exxon managers about the political and cultural issues they might face in Chad. Exxon ran the Chad project out of an office in Paris and hired French nationals and French-speaking Canadian executives to supervise its operations in N'Djamena. Many of the engineers and managers who did the day-to-day work in the oil fields, however, were English-drawling Americans based in Houston. Cohen set up classrooms in Houston and New Jersey. His students were all white males, as he recalled it. He developed a syllabus to instruct them about the nature of the Chadian government, how it worked, how to get along with them, and perhaps even more challenging, how to get along with French people. Cohen had known Idriss Déby during the anti-Libyan campaigns of 1987, when Déby served as Chad's chief of army staff. Cohen remembered him as a tribal warlord, basically, who drank too much, and who struggled to share power and wealth adequately even with members of his own tribe. Cohen warned Exxon's executives that there would be a challenge to his rule at some point. The possibility of a coup d'état was not the only political risk the corporation had assumed in Chad. As with climate change and the management of corporate security in Aceh, Lee Raymond's decision to explore for oil in such a poor African nation had involved Exxon in a burgeoning global contest of ideas about the social and political risks that flowed from oil production in very poor countries. Rosemarie Forsythe's slides for the management committee implied that more and more the world's oil happened to be located in unstable countries, more or less coincidentally. A growing body of academic research suggested that oil production was likely a cause of their instability.